Our lesson for this morning is taken from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. I'll be reading verses 19 through 22, and if you'd like to follow along, this is on page 989 of your pew Bibles. The passage today takes place after the resurrection of Jesus, where Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Thus lands our lesson for this morning. May God add his blessing to this reading and us to our understanding.
We just returned from a short vacation, first in a year and a half, and Susie attended the 8 o'clock service, and I think she's washing clothes at home. In Congregationalism, we have faith, freedom, and fellowship. And I can say on vacation, I had a morning workshop on prayer at the Rockland Congregational Church in Maine. And for freedom, we had the freedom to just roam around, which we did until we had to get to Rockland, and then the freedom to roam around again until we returned here, for the service today. So faith, freedom, and fellowship was the warm reception that Sue and I had at fellowship at Rockland Congregational Church after I preached there on Sunday. For food, ate very well, and the high point of the trip for food was visiting the Ben and Jerry's plant, ice cream plant in Vermont. So, all good stuff. What I want to share with you this morning are the first words. By the way, thank you also on behalf of Anne and Cindy and Tanya. Thank you for the flowers and the warm reception. Again, what I want to share with you this morning are the first words of Jesus when he met with his followers on the evening of the day of his resurrection. These are all of the words of Jesus that were written down. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." There's only three short sentences, 18 words in all. But those words by the resurrected Jesus are rich with significance. And if I could summarize each sentence, it would be this: peace, send, receive. So what happened on that evening? Picture the people who followed Jesus. Earlier on that day, Peter and John and Mary Magdalene told them that Jesus was somehow alive. The last time they saw Jesus was he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he was arrested, beaten, on a cross, then lifeless. The man that they had adored and followed and placed their hopes in was dead. And whatever future plans they had were dashed. Whatever hopes they had were crushed. And they sensed that the authorities were coming for them also. They felt that their own deaths were imminent. So they locked themselves in that house and they remained there in fear. They also remembered how they had each deserted Jesus. They did not go to the foot of the cross where their friend died. Peter had even denied Jesus. And that's when Jesus came to them. The man that they had lived with for years was among them again. He was not dead. He stood in the middle of them. He was not up front on a podium. He was central to their lives. Then they must have thought about, what would Jesus say to them? Would he condemn them for deserting him? Would he disapprove of them for not being with him as he was dying on the cross? Would he criticize them for locking the door and hiding from the authorities? Would he censure them for their unbelief? And then Jesus spoke. And his words were solace to them. Peace. Peace be with you. So visualize the reaction of the disciples. Jesus was in the center of their group, and his message was reconciliation and unity. So what is Jesus' message to us? That's the purpose of Scripture, the living, written Word of God. For Scripture deliberately has many levels of understanding. There is the level of what is just simply written down. There is the level of God's disclosure to us, how God reveals himself to us. There is the level of what God wants us to hear or learn from what was said or from what occurred. There is the level of what God wants us to grasp as eternal truths and the statements we are to carry with us. And there is divine wisdom. So when it was recorded that Jesus said peace, he means peace to us also. For we are in the same shoes, or should I say sandals, as the disciples in that very room. Are we as happy as those disciples were to know that Jesus was resurrected and is alive? Do we realize that the divine Jesus remains in our midst, especially through the Holy Spirit? Are we sometimes embarrassed that we have not stood by Jesus? That when it was time to walk with him, we did not? That when it was time to stand up for Jesus and what he taught, we did not? So when Jesus tells us that he wants peace between us, we should be comforted. Are we comforted? When Jesus says that he is bringing peace to our hearts, are we consoled? When Jesus says that his peace reconciles us to him, are we glad? And when Jesus tells us that his suffering and death and now his resurrection has brought us into unity with him, are we given true and real hope? For now, we can be at peace. The prophet Isaiah painted a picture of what peace looks like, and we can imagine the scene. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. Now, we know peace as calm within our souls, as quiet within our hearts, and serenity of mind. In our relationships with others, we know peace as harmony. And the total opposite of peace is war. We have experienced confrontations with others, and even sometimes within our own selves, we can experience conflict. The Apostle Paul was well aware of this. In his instructive letter to the Romans, he wrote that he sees within himself, quote, another law at war with the law of his mind, making him captive to the law of sin that dwells within himself. So there are struggles within us, often described as a battle between good and evil. Recently, Sue and I went to see a play downtown called Avenue Q. In that play, there were two puppets called the Bad Idea Bears, which, as you can guess, tried to suggest unwise choices to the other characters on stage. The Bad Idea Bears was a clever way for the playwright to introduce the idea of temptation into a contemporary play. We're enticed in many ways. There's competition for time, for power, for money. We are drawn to selfishness versus giving of ourselves to others. We are attracted to disobeying even the simplest of commandments. And yet Jesus stands within the midst of our heart and soul and continually invites us to look to him and accept his offering of peace. Now, there must have been a lot of other conversation that night, and it must have continued on for a long time. But at some point in time, Jesus then turned to them and said, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." And that's quite in order. And that directive is Jesus' command to us also. That is Jesus' mandate to us. Now, before we follow any directive given to us by another person, we have questions. And the first logical question is, who is the person giving me an order? What right does the person have to tell me anything? What credentials does the person have? But before you and I answer those questions, let's look at how the disciples answered those questions. They knew Jesus for 3 years or more, and now the resurrected Jesus stood right in front of them. They thought they knew who he was, but now they clearly understood his credentials. They unmistakably realized that he had the right to give them the command. Now, what about us? This is 2012, and we have the same questions of any authority. So our first logical question is, who is this person giving me an order? What right does this person have to tell me anything? What authority does this person have? And that first question of who Jesus is major. Is Jesus just a historical person? Is he divine? Is he the resurrected Christ? And even regardless of who he is, does he have the right to tell me anything? And that's not just a series of questions here this morning from members of this church. These are questions asked by every person in the world. Who is God to give me an order? And what right does God have to tell me anything? The Apostle Paul, later in years, confirmed his belief in the risen Christ when he wrote to the Corinthians, quote, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." And as Christians, we believe, as those disciples did, and as Paul did, that Jesus was indeed resurrected. Therefore, we'll move forward as we believe that Jesus was sent by the Father, and he does send us. And that's quite an invitation. Or is it a command? You and I are sent. When we read the gospel, and if we even partially comprehend what Jesus tried to teach, then we are summoned to work to bring about God's kingdom on this earth. Now, at first hearing, this almost sounds too simple. Your task and my task is to bring God's world to those around us and make it real. And how can we do this? And that's the question that the disciples must have asked that evening. And if they didn't ask Jesus, they thought about it. But Jesus already had the answer. They needed strength. They needed God's grace. They were in that room, locked and fearful. And that is when the gospel reports that Jesus breathed on them. Now, in the book of Genesis, it states that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Later on, the great prophet Ezekiel wrote that God said this, "Thus says the Lord God, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live and know that I am the Lord God." So we return to today's gospel passage. Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they did. We know they did by reading the Acts of the Apostles. And we know of them because you and I are the living legacies of those disciples. As they received the Holy Spirit, we also receive the Holy Spirit of God. And we need God's strength also. There is no possible way for us to bring faith to another person. That's God's grace. But we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are the ears and the mouth of Jesus. And as Jesus told us, "What you do for the least of my family, you do for me." We can only do our best. If we do that, we are obeying God's command, the command of Jesus, to be sent out. And we must pray. We pray that Jesus breathe life into us, that we become spiritually alive. We pray for God's grace, and yet we're not in this alone, for we are members of this church. And Jesus told us that he is the vine and we are the branches, so we receive nourishment from him. And that's the importance of prayer. The words of Jesus, in summary, are so simple and so difficult to live out even in a lifetime. Peace, send, receive.